we are talking about. Why am I here? Why are you here? Someone forced you to come this morning? we're doing this series, and I thought I'd do someone a little bit, perhaps that wouldn't stand out, because, you know, so I thought I'd talk about be like Hezekiah, but it's in this theme of why am I here, because if we be like Hezekiah, we would be more like Christ, and that's a good thing. So before I start, I just wanted to let people know that our Leap into Spring promises, we've raised around $50,000. And for those of you who have given generously, fantastic. So give yourselves a hand if that's you. And thank you for your generosity in these uncertain times. We're expecting to spend around $60,000. So if there's anyone out there that still hasn't put a promise card in, please go to the information desk and I'm sure that can happen. All right, let's read a couple of verses about Hezekiah. This is 2 Kings 18, and I'm probably not going to read all of it, but here we go. Verse 2 to 7, sort of. He was 25 years old when he became king. Who thinks that's young to be a king? And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him, for he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him, and he prospered wherever he went. Who thinks that'd be a great little testimony for the end of your life? He prospered wherever he went. He held on to the Lord. So he actually, his biological father, David being his spiritual father, but was a guy named Ahaz. And Ahaz, you know anything about Ahaz? He was a very evil king. He's meant to be a king over Israel, over God's people, but he was an evil king. And he actually formed an alliance with the Assyrian army, which was, and the Assyrian king, Sennacherib at the time. And all sorts of things started to go wrong for Israel, and interesting times it was because I'll read a couple of things that happened. Ahaz was really big, became really big on idol worship, and in fact he even saw an idol that had been carved when he went and visited the king of Assyria, and he decided to make that exact idol, so he copied it and put it up instead of the house of God, and they started worshipping this particular idol. They started burning incense in high places. But not only that, they did another thing. They actually got so bad with their idolatry. Who knows when you start to go off track with God that you can go downhill quite quickly. And these are God's people. This is in some ways our history, and it's a good lesson to learn, I think, that we can actually go quite a way down if we allow ourselves prefer, in this case, to turn ourselves away from God. And they started sacrificing their children in fire and had witchcraft, and of course the kids died. And so that's a long way down from, who knows, God's a God of life and a God of blessing. And so that was what happened. And I've actually been in some of those towns where they mix it all up, like this particular in Africa. And it's quite a oppressive place to be, where there's idol worship, a little bit of God, but everything all mixed in. And you can feel it. You can feel the darkness. So I'm glad we sang that song this morning. Amen. Let the darkness flee in our lives. So that's just a little bit of history. And so then enters Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was a man who was successful, the Bible says, in everything he did. Can anyone claim that today? He was successful in everything he did. My goodness, can you imagine being successful in everything you do? I struggle with that, Todd. Do you? Blammer? Everything. Everything you do. Guess what Hezekiah's name means? Yahweh is my strength. And the Bible says that Hezekiah always did what God wanted him to do. Do you think that'd be something that we could sort of head towards? And so Hezekiah, because if we're going to know our purpose, then we need to know what God wants us to do. So I want to talk about this a little bit today. Hezekiah knew who he was, he knew his purpose, and he knew the right timing to do it. And God, the Bible actually says that God didn't want to know Israel anymore because of his father, Ahaz, and how far down they had got themselves into occult practices. And so he basically turned his face away from Israel. And enters this, Hezekiah comes. And so there are a number of things that we can learn from Hezekiah's life. Number one, God wants me to center my life around him. Say it with me. God wants me to center my life around him. Now, we're struggling with the power. Oh, we got it. Thanks, Abriella. All right. Good job. The nucleus of your life, the axis of your existence is God. You experience his love. You have relationship with him. And so I guess we term it in our modern day, we would call this worship. Not just talking about lifting our hands like we did today, but actually a lifestyle. And the truth is, you are going to center your life on something. You're going to center your life on your career. You will center your life on your family. You'll center your life on making money. You'll center your life on pleasure. You'll center your life on holidays. Who lives for holidays? Don't put your hand up. We like holidays, right? Who enjoys holidays? Andrew and I are heading to the Kimberley after this message, after church today, and we're looking forward to it. But we shouldn't be the center of our life. We need balance. All these things are good things. Who knows? We need to work. Don't be a sluggard, the Bible says. You sluggard. Anyway, anything other than God at the center of your life is called an idol. So how do you know when your life is not centered on God? You start worrying. Worry is the warning light that something besides God is the center of your life, stressing you out, fearful. And this is exactly what happened in the nation of Israel until Hezekiah became ruler. You are not going to find freedom you are looking for by worshipping other gods. How do you know when your life is centered on him? Helen prayed it this morning. You are at peace. You stop worrying. Philippians 4:7, I think Helen actually spoke about it this morning. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so when the heat is on in your life, who knows there's going to be heat in your life? When the heat comes, when trouble comes, as it was with Hezekiah, which we'll get to in a minute, there is nothing else strong enough to hold your life together than the Lord Jesus Christ. Sport won't hold your life together. Your hobby won't do it when you are down. Your career won't make you happy or give you enough to hang on to. Money is never enough. Family alone isn't enough. Fun isn't enough. Friends are not enough. And when there are earthquakes in your life, only one thing is going to be strong enough to hold you together. Can we worship the Lord our God as a people and center our lives on him as a church? Let's be like Hezekiah. So, number one, worship God. Center your life on Him. Love the Lord your God. We use it as our phrase here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and lean not on your own understanding, but allow Him to have guard your heart and minds. Okay, so I just mixed up a couple of scriptures. What things are stalling you from worshiping God? I like doing that. With all your heart. What things are stalling you from worshiping God? Let's take this seriously for a moment. With all your heart. Why don't we start an anti-idol policy in our lives? Now, we might not physically actually create a big wooden carved image. If you've got a Buddha at home, I suggest you get rid of it. Don't leave it at the doorstep. You've got Christ in your heart. He's the answer. He's the one who's going to bring life. We don't worship dead things, the Bible says. Secondly, Hezekiah, amidst doing everything right by God, trouble came. So even when you do everything right, recognize that trouble will come. Yeah? Because Hezekiah did everything right by the Lord did not mean he did not enter and encounter trouble and difficult times in his life. It's the second slide, Abriella, not the third one. The king of Assyria took Israel captive during Hezekiah's reign. And Hezekiah sent enormous amounts of gold and silver to the king in order to get to the people back. He even went into the temple and stripped all the gold and the silver because he cared for his people and realized that they were going to end up under serving a foreign god and turn completely away from the one true God. And so these are all some of the things that Hezekiah did as he was king for those 29 years. The Assyrian army taunted the soldiers that were left, particularly in Samaria, for quite a long period of time. And Hezekiah had just said to his army that was left, which wasn't enough, if there was to be a war, just don't say anything back. So the retorts are coming. Your God's useless. Look how many people you've got compared to us. And the taunts were going out. The taunts were going out. Do you ever feel like that when things feel like they're against you and it's easier to look at personal opinion or what others are saying? Always stick on what God has put in your heart. God's got the way through. God's got an answer. God's got you. All we need do is hold on to Him. And so the Assyrians knew that Israel's armies were depleted, and so they're going after him. Guess what Hezekiah did? He went into the house of the Lord and prayed for God's strength. And Hezekiah came out of the house of God and he said this, he made this prayer. He prayed to the Lord and asked for his help because the threats of a takeover continued. And God answered Hezekiah and said, Sennacherib will not come into this city, for I will defend it for my name's sake and for my servant David's sake. 2 Kings 19. Allow God to do your fighting for you. Pray the way you know how. Let God hear what you have to say. And then leave it with Him to deal with the problems you are facing. And in this particular case, God did an incredible thing. He went in and he lessened the army by 185,000 people. He just went, no, you're no longer, 185,000 people. This is Old Testament stuff. And they've gone. And due to the taunting and threats that were made by Assyria, it does, however, appear that it affected Hezekiah's health. Who knows that even if we trust God, that everything, that there are times in our life where things can affect us. We're only human in that sense. And so we have bodies who, you know, I'm looking forward to having a new body. Am I the only one? They all like, you all like your bodies better. Okay, better than mine, yeah. Hezekiah became so unwell that he's close to death. And the prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah. Oh, I really feel for the prophets in the Old Testament. And the prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and says, set your house in order because you're going to die. Great thing to say. Imagine if I came up to Juliet and said, set your house in order, tomorrow you die. That's what Isaiah did. That's the kind of guy that he was. That's what his job was. Because he was like acting for God. That's how they did it. Now we've got Jesus in our hearts. That's better, right? Much easier. Okay, so, but Hezekiah cries out to the Lord. And he's kind of like against a wall. And he's going, haven't I served you with all my heart? And haven't I been faithful to you? He's crying out to God. God knocks back on Isaiah's mind. Go back and talk to Hezekiah again. What do you mean? Just do as I say. And tell him this time that I'm going to add 15 years to his life because I have found that this man has been true to what he has said, and as he has called out to me, that I have found him to be faithful and that he has served me the best that he possibly could, so I'm going to add to his years 15. Who'd like to have that kind of a situation happen? You're on your deathbed and suddenly God says, I'm going to give you another 15 years. We'll talk about that in a second. So thirdly, serve the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, serve the Lord. Hezekiah asked the Lord, have I not been good for others? Have I not been faithful? And God agreed. I believe you. Can God believe you? Let's ask a couple of questions. If God asks you to give him reasons why he should let you live another 15 years, what would you say? If God reviewed the last 15 years of your life, would he be eager to give you another 15? Why am I here? Are you willing to use the rest of your life the way God planned for you to use? We can all do that one. We can make a profession today that I will make the next 15 years of my life count for God. Amen? God wants me to contribute something back. And the reason he was given another 15 years was because he was contributing back into the things that meant something to the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one receives a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We serve God by serving others. I'm so grateful that we are in a number of other countries around the world, and I get these reports back of all the things that we've been able to achieve, as you saw in our Leap into Spring program that's just finished. Incredible things. We are servants of God. We are not servants of our career alone. We are not made to do nothing. In fact, there was a study, I'll give you this little illustration. I found it from Timothy Keller, actually. There was a study done in New York City about a decade ago. And in that study, they examined the length of life for people retiring just in New York City. Half of the people who retired died within 2 years of their retirement. Why? You and I are not designed to do nothing. It was particular for that particular city at that time. And so I just live for the weekends. I just live for the next party. I just live for the next 24 hours of leisure time, whatever it is. Why should God keep me on earth? David says in Psalm 116:12, "What should I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" Oh God. Significance does not come from status, salary, success in an area. Significance comes from service. Pastor Charlie knows that. Isn't it true though? What gives us the most significance? When we help someone else. When we serve others. And the first place we should do that is in the house of God. So let me ask you another question. Because this is all appropriate to why I'm here. Where are you making an unselfish contribution to the world? And Hezekiah made the most of his life by faithfully serving God as king and keeping the people the best that he was able to on track for the Lord. And whenever he heard of a group or a village that started worshipping idols, he went to that town and he tore them down. Hezekiah knew where the power was. Hezekiah was a good steward of all that God had given him. Let me finish with this. Ephesians 5:15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let me ask another series of questions. Are you being careful with your life? Are you living wisely? Are you making the most of your time? Are you taking every opportunity to do good? Are you making sure you know what God wants you to do with your life?